Great expectations. Jesus was the promised Messiah, the foretold Savior, who would lead God's chosen people with power and with authority, who would restore the kingdom of Israel. The Israelite nation had some great expectations placed on the Messiah. The nation had great expectations, but I would have to assume that Jesus' individual followers would have developed some of their own great expectations as they spent time with Jesus, expectations that just would have naturally grown out of having a relationship with him, expectations that would have fallen to disappointment when Jesus was arrested and he went through his trials, when he was crucified and buried. However, those expectations would have been far exceeded when they got a chance to see and interact and experience the resurrected Christ. And they got a chance to see that God's plan was much bigger and much better than their expectations. It's what we've been talking about in this series, great expectations. We went all the way back to that first Easter Sunday morning. That first Easter Sunday morning, before the sun had even lit the day, in the earliest hours of the day, the earliest hours that could still be called dawn. We know that a group of women went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body with oils and burial spices. And when they arrived, they saw that the stone had been rolled away and that the tomb was empty. Where was Jesus' body, they wondered? Had it been stolen? John tells us that when Mary Magdalene saw that the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty, she took off running immediately to go and tell Peter and John of the missing body. We're told that the other women that were there that morning, they got a chance to be visited by an angel or even angels who said to them, "Do not be afraid. You come looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said he would. Come look in this empty tomb. Come look at the place where they laid him. Now go and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him." And so these women, they run off to carry this message to the disciples. Soon after, Peter and John come running to the tomb. And they see that the stone has been rolled away. And they witness that it is also empty. And so they leave to go and report to the disciples what they have witnessed. Sometime later, Mary returns to the tomb. This time she is alone. Mary is visited by two angels. And then she is visited by Jesus himself. Mary is the first person to experience the resurrected Jesus and encounter him. We talked about Mary on Easter Sunday as we kicked off this series, how she had been freed from 7 demons during Jesus' ministry, and how after that she became a devout follower and a financial supporter of Jesus' ministry. Because of her past, Jesus' physical presence in her life would have been an assurance that she would never have to relive the nightmare of her past again, of where she came from. Jesus' physical presence gave her the assurance that he was going to continue to provide for her the freedom and the liberation she had experienced, the safety and security, the sanity and protection that she had experienced through him. But what about after Jesus' ascension? Not just his crucifixion and burial, but then he rose from the dead and they got a chance to experience the resurrected Christ, but he ascended into heaven. What about now? Where was she going to get that comfort of that assurance? Well, she was going to get that comfort from an even greater expectation than the expectations she had. She was going to get that comfort from the Comforter himself, the Holy Spirit. And we were reminded that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And so we too have the assurance, and we are reminded by his presence inside of us, God living inside of us. We have the assurance of the freedom and liberation that Jesus gives to us, the safety and security that he brings, the sanity and protection that we have in him. As we return to that first Easter Sunday morning, all of the women and Peter and John, they all return to the other disciples and they report what they have seen and what they have experienced that morning. After hearing this, two of the group head off to Emmaus. Sometime later that day, Jesus appears to Peter. And so Peter was the second appearance that Jesus made, the second person that got a chance to experience the resurrected Christ. So we talked about Peter in the second message of this series, Mr. Go Big or Go Home, We talked about how Peter had expectations of himself that left him disappointed. He expected to stick by Jesus and that he'd never turn back, and yet he denied Jesus three times. And so he was disappointed in himself. He did not live up to his own expectations. And we talked about that and how we understand, we can relate to that ourselves. And that is just an awful feeling. When we've let him down, when we have fallen short of service in his kingdom or obedience or activity in his mission. And we had three simple takeaway points that morning. One is that we should be glad when we have that feeling of when we feel bad that we've let him down, because that means we had expectations that we would be productive in his kingdom, that we would be active in his mission, that we would be faithful to him. So we need to take those feelings that we had from our own disappointment of not living up to our expectations. And we need to have that remorse, and we need to let that remorse lead to repentance, lead to restoration, and lead to a lesson learned. And that was the second takeaway, that we need to make sure that we learn from our past failures and grow through them. And then the last takeaway from that Sunday was that God will call us to things bigger than us. And if we depend on ourselves, we're going to fail from time to time. But we need to expect to depend on God, and because he has great expectations on us. Jesus appeared to Peter after he appeared to Mary that first Easter Sunday morning. We're told that later that day he appears to the two on their way to Emmaus. And this is Jesus' third appearance to individuals. He still hasn't made a group appearance yet. So on that third Sunday, we talked about these two on their way to Emmaus, and we talked about a number of different growing points that all centered around recentering and refocusing and re-energizing in times when we've had our faith shaken. So the two from Emmaus return, and then Jesus appears to the disciples without Thomas present. Then about a week later, Jesus makes his second group appearance. And this time, Thomas was present. And so in week four, on our fourth Sunday of this series, we talked about Thomas and how Thomas can very easily represent some of the people that we are going to be sharing our faith with as we are active in sharing our faith with others. And we looked at a couple of different things there from Thomas's life. One, that people are going to be skeptical. That's fine. What we claim to believe is some pretty deep stuff. It's pretty heavy. So we should expect that people are going to be skeptical. Don't be discouraged by this. Expect it. Two, that people, when we share our faith with people, they're going to have questions, or at least we hope they do. If they have questions, that's actually a really good thing. It means that the gospel has sparked in them an interest. And we shouldn't be overwhelmed by that, but rather we should pray and we should seek to walk with them and to help them find answers to their questions. Three, that we need to understand that everyone has a history. Everyone that we share our faith with, they have their own unique obstacles, their own unique things that are going to be difficulties for them to get over, and things from their past. So we need to expect that, and we just need to be a peace bearer in their lives as we continue to invest in them. And the fourth thing we reflected on as we looked at Thomas and how he represented some of the people that we would be sharing our faith with, is that we need to never forget that every person we share our faith with, they have the chance of making the tremendous confession that Thomas himself made, and that was, my Lord and my God. So don't get discouraged in sharing your faith. Share and share often. So back to Jesus' resurrection appearances. We've had an individual appearance to Mary, individual appearance to Peter, a small individual one-on-one or one-to-two with the two to Emmaus, and then his first group appearance without Thomas present, second group appearance with Thomas present, then his third group appearance was to the seven disciples as they went out fishing that one morning, and we talked about that during the sermon on Peter. And then he appears to a group of more than 500 of his followers, and then to his half-brother, James. And so we talked about James last week and how the resurrection changes everything. I asked you to reflect on how Jesus' resurrection has changed you. And then I asked you to reflect on what you are going to use your spiritual gifts and how you're going to use your spiritual gifts to help to keep God's people focused, your brothers and sisters in Christ focused, just as James and Jude used their spiritual gifts to help to keep people focused on Jesus' kingdom and his righteousness. So how are you going to do that with your gifts? And I asked you to reflect on that and to pray about that this past week. We should be using our God-given spiritual gifts to help and to strengthen and to support each other in our faith. And then this week, we talked about Paul, one abnormally born, who experienced the resurrected Christ as after his ascension into heaven, the only person that experienced the resurrected Christ that way. We reflected on how, even with the best intentions, we can stand in the way of Jesus' mission, and we need to be aware of that. And so we spent some time in prayer about that. We prayed for our church, and we prayed for ourselves as individuals, that we would openly seek Jesus' lead in our church. We reflected on how when we focus on our own ambitions, we can lose sight of God's activity. And so we spent some time in prayer for our church and for ourselves as individuals, that we would listen to Jesus' voice as he leads our church. We reflected on how humility is a prerequisite for obedience. And once again, we spent some time in prayer. We prayed for our church as a whole. We prayed for ourselves as individuals that we would courageously seek and obey Jesus' lead. And then we reflected on how, without this change that Saul experienced, Saul would have never converted to Paul. And all of those amazing kingdom stories that we have from Paul and his pursuit of Jesus' mission would have never happened. We don't want to miss out on that as a church. We want to be part of Jesus' plan. We want to be part of Jesus' mission. We want to run forward with him. And so we're taking this time as we develop some great expectations for ourselves, as we let God put great expectations inside of our hearts, and we chase and we follow after his vision for our church, that we're not going to let anything hold us back, and we're going to chase after the great expectations he has for us. This has been an exciting series. Thanks for letting me share in this with you. Great expectations.